Your SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is loading now. Today's SteveJonesShow.com podcast audio is sponsored by Purdy Insurance, Market Street, Sunbury, and online at PurdyInsurance.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. You can go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors Studio. Now's the great time to buy. Go to Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, keywords 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And I'm in the... And I mentioned the Hilsers General Store hotline open at 1-800-795-9565. Powered by Hilsers General Store. Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Routes 11 and 15, 7 miles south of Sealands Grove. My apologies. Go to www.hilsersstore.com. Check out the deli, the bakery, restaurant, and, of course, the great items they have for sale, coats, boots, and things like that. Hilsers General Store, routes 11 and 15, 7 miles south of Sealands Grove.
Every time I think it's time to go get some seeds, I have to go get boots again, or at least think about it.
Well, I know every time I do the show with you, I think about getting boots.
Oh, now that's not right. At least you didn't have to get a shovel, too.
I can do that on my own. All right, we bring in Tony DeFazio, Pittsburgh Sports Report. Kevin, this is the part you always love. You love getting the inside dope on the Steelers, don't you?
That's the best part of the show.
We get some inside feel on the Pittsburgh Steelers from Tony DeFazio. Antoine, welcome. Let's talk about the combine. For the Steelers, give us an idea of the value for an organization that normally puts a high value on character. How important is the part we don't see, the interview part?
That's the most interesting question here, because this is an organization that has talked a lot about the value of sitting across a desk or a table and looking somebody in the eye and trying to gain some insight that way. And yet you look at what the Steelers did last year, they rolled the dice on a lot of players character-wise, and those gambles didn't exactly work out very well in a couple of cases. They had a couple of character issue guys coming into this draft, and two of those guys got arrested during the course of the season last year or right at the end of the season, and one, Chris Rainey, is no longer with them. They released him after his issue. Aleta Te'amu, the defensive tackle for out of Washington, had a major incident during the course of the season, a drunk driving incident where he, but for the grace of God, certainly could have killed somebody. He drove his car into a crowd of people. So they had some severe issues last, with the whatever vetting process they used, it did not work in those two instances. Mike Adams was a guy who had issues. He ended up being a model year, and I think they feel pretty good with him. And there were some other guys. Sean Spence had some issues when he was at Miami, and he seems to have stayed somewhat clean, although he didn't get on the field as a rookie. So, again, talked about, the value of looking somebody in the eye and making those decisions. It would surprise me this year if they rolled the dice on a character guy because of the issues they had over the past season where those things didn't really turn out in their favor.
Is there any running back in this draft that they think is worthy of taking a long look at this combine?
From everything that you hear, they like Eddie Lacy, but I think a lot of other teams like Eddie Lacy as well.
I can tell you I like Eddie Lacy. I think Eddie Lacy is going to be an NFL back. I think can give you 4 or 5 good years.
Yeah, no. Well, you know what, Steve, I think you bring up a good, great point about running backs. I mean, unless you're pretty sure you're going to get those 4 or 5 good years, it seems like that's about the ceiling for NFL running backs nowadays. Yeah. I mean, these guys, you go through running backs very, very quickly. So if you're going to go after a guy pretty early, you better be sure you're going to get those 4 or 5 years out of him. The Steelers probably only got maybe 2.5 or so their last top first-round draft pick at that position, and that's Rashard Mendenhall and come to an end this year in not so great fashion. So they probably do need a running back. Jonathan Dwyer and Isaac Redman Perhaps only one of those guys are going to come back this year. They're both restricted free agents. Probably will tender them both, but it's possible that they only, you know, that they decide only to bring one of those guys back. If that's the decision that they make, then they're going to have to draft a guy. You know, Mike Gillislee, the running back out of Florida, is a guy that could be a latter round pick. Joseph Randall's a guy. Those are some guys that you hear connected to the Steelers, not in the first round, perhaps not even the second round. Those would be, you know, maybe third round type guys. So, you know, they've got to answer some questions on the defensive side of the ball. They've got to answer some questions on the offensive side of the ball. My guess would be you probably get two defensive and either a running back or a receiver taken in those first three rounds, depending upon what they're able to do in free agency. There are going to be some veterans available, whether they make sense or not. You know, salary-wise, I guess it's going to be the Steelers and pretty much everybody else's issue. There's only a few teams that are able to spend a lot of money for this offseason.
There's some talk about Mike Wallace in combination with Greg Jennings going to Miami. Of course, Greg Jennings will be reunited with Joe Philbin. Is that the feel you're getting, that a Wallace to Miami is a possibility?
You know, Miami and Cleveland are probably the two teams that you've heard the most out of. Pittsburgh just seems to be becoming less and less of a possibility as the offseason goes on. You know, part of that has to do with Mike Wallace's disappointment last year, and I think another part of that just has to do with the reality that they probably gave Antonio Brown Mike Wallace's money last season. And they, you know, again, we talked about the Steelers making some gambles. They gambled that Antonio Brown would be the guy who would take the biggest step forward. Well, you know, this past season, he had the chance to do that, and he really didn't take that big step forward. They're far from giving up on Antonio Brown. This is a guy who they still believe can be a star. But it does look like they're going to need Antonio Brown and Emmanuel Sanders to step up, because it really does look like Mike Wallace is out the door.
Well, let's face it, the last 25 games that Mike Wallace has played with the Steelers, I think inconsistency would be, because the 8 games that he started last season with, he was spectacular. The last 25, the graph is up and down.
Yeah, Steve, I think you're exactly right, and that basically goes along with, you know, the first half of that 2011 season, after everybody became aware of what Mike Wallace could do, defenses adjusted to him, and I think you're right. I mean, he really showed to be a, hate to say, one-trick pony for a guy that gets into the end zone as often as he does, but it's hard to give a guy who's so inconsistent as much money as he wants. And I think probably the most frustrating thing is somebody out there probably will end up doing it, which I think is why a lot of general managers probably do get frustrated. But he stretches the field. Is that all he does? You know, it's certainly, Steve, as you said, over the past 25 games, it seems as if that's really the only thing he can do consistently, and it's hard to do that consistently.
Tony, always a pleasure, my friend. Thanks.
Always enjoy it. Have a great weekend, fellas.
All right, Tony DeFazio. Now we bring in Steeler lover Kevin Herr for instant analysis.
Well, I think he's right on in the running back situation. One at best will be coming back. I agree with what both of you are saying with Brown. And thank goodness that you didn't talk about Troy Polamalu. That's all I have to say.
Well, I don't think anything's happening with Troy Polamalu. I mean, that, I think that's the biggest. I think that's the biggest part of this. I think that salary wise, cap wise, Troy Polamalu is not an issue. James Harrison's a big issue,
right?
But Troy Polamalu is not an issue.
You know, and Steeler fans are going to put up with 1 year where they didn't make the playoffs. The second year, it's going to get nasty. I mean, I really don't see 2 years of just missing the playoffs making Steeler fans comfortable or happy before you start to hear a little backlash in the stadium.
And when Kevin Herr talks about the Steelers, we know what he means.
Wait, wait, wait! Wait!
And everybody in Pittsburgh joins me with that. Every Steeler fan joins me with that. You know, the Steelers and Packers.
Kelly loves when I pull that.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. The Steelers and Packers are probably the only teams, maybe the Eagles, in the NFL that fans really feel a connection to that deeply, I believe.
The Green Bay Packers, they own stock.
Well, okay, right. There's a reason. Okay, there's a fiduciary little reason for that.
No, there isn't. They get nothing out of it.
Well, that's true. They don't get any money.
They get
You're
zilch,
right.
Except they buy a part of the team, and that's all they get. There's no stock meeting.
I mean, they'll sit there and get stock. They buy stock the same way Celtics fans bought stock. They just want to have something
no
up on the wall.
There's no dividend at all. Really? None. I did not know that. That I didn't know.
No. In fact, my friend Ed Russell, okay, who lives here in State College, Eddie owns a stock in the Green Bay Packers. His wife, Mickey grew up in Green Bay. In fact, she was a Packers cheerleader at one point. This is when they wore the high school cheerleading outfits, all right? And she was a Packers cheerleader at one point at Lambeau Field. And her mother still lives there. In fact, I've gone up to Ed's mother-in-law's house, stayed there, went to a Packers game with them up there. They are the community team.
Yeah, the only thing I own from the team is a piece of turf from Three River Stadium.
Yeah, well, I mean, and that's when they took the AstroTurf. Listen, they out of Haluba Hall, and they put in the field turf.
Right.
I had said to somebody, I said, "Why don't you cut it up and sell it? Okay, make floor mats, door mats, whatever." Okay.
I have it mounted with a picture of Three River Stadium,
right?
Overhead shot, and have it mounted on a plaque.
And you know what? They didn't do it. They rolled it up and threw it into a. They rolled it up and they threw it into a. A storage area.
Oh, people would have bought that and not thought twice
right.
about it.
That is here's my reasoning why when I suggested it. I said because the 1986 national championship team and the 1984 team both practiced on that field. That's how long it was in.
You're gonna really laugh at this. But the first time I got it, the first thing I did was take it out, I touched it, and I said there are four Super Bowl teams have played on this piece of turf. And my wife looks at me with the weirdest look, which is normal, and says, "You want to go wash your hands? You don't know what else they did on that piece of turf."
And we'll come back with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK after this.
You just don't think about insurance. You buy a home. You take out a policy and you forget about it until something happens and you need it. Then you think about insurance a lot. My agent recommended insurance from Selective. Insurance for our home and property, jewelry, even the food in our refrigerator. Selective thinks about everything, so I don't have to.
Selective. Response is everything. Get to know us at Selective.com.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Pretty Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at PrettyInsurance.com. Find out what Pretty Insurance can do for you.
All right, let's pop to it here. Curtis Granderson is out for 10 weeks for the Yankees. There have been very few players last 2 years more of the Yankees than Curtis Granderson because he has given them an unexpected power boost. You're talking about 10 weeks. Now, defensively, they'll be fine. A guy like Brett Gardner certainly can play center field, and he covers a lot of ground. He has great speed. I think they prefer to play him in left field if they had to.
Well, I thought they were going to actually put him in center field and then move Granderson to left eventually.
And Granderson is a 40 home run guy. So now you have, to start the season, Granderson out 10 weeks. And Alex Rodriguez on the 60-day disabled list. Now, Alex Rodriguez, since he came back from his injury in August, did absolutely nothing last year. I mean, I think he had two extra base hits. One was a double and one was a home run. And that's it. So you're talking that the Yankees have a big problem. They are an aging baseball team. I mean, aging. I mean, and I don't want to hear, "Oh, Robinson Cano, he's young. He's 30. Do you realize that? Robinson Cano's 30 years old, you know.
I did not realize.
Just that. Compared to the other guys, okay, compared to the other guys, he's the kid. I mean, I'm not kidding.
I know, Teixeira, but it just sounds funny.
Teixeira, Jeter, okay, they brought in Euculus. I mean, Euculus is Euculus was young 10 years ago. You know, they had Granderson. Gardner's been there for a while now. I mean, they are an aging baseball team. I mean, when you make a big deal out of, hey, we re-signed Andy Pettit, huh? 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 Andy Pettit, by the way, is a really good pitcher, but Andy Pettit's over 40 years old. Got Mariano Rivera back. He's 42. If things stay quo, I think the Toronto Blue Jays beat out both the Yankees and the Red Sox. Which is interesting because John Farrell will manage the Red Sox.
Trying to figure out the average age of the Yankees right now for their 100. Right now their 2013 roster.
100.
Don't think it's quite that bad.
Well, they're the only team at base, but nearly half of them have AARP cards.
Well, and one of their starters in the outfield is, what, 39? That Ichiro is going to be 39?
Yeah, I mean, Ichiro made us younger. He's 39, yeah, but he made us younger.
Euclid's, I mean, 33.
Jeter, who?
Euclid's 33. Teixeira's, yeah, 32. Euclid's,
yep. Cano's 30.
And you look at the dollar figures. All right, CC's 32, making $24
million.
Yeah. You know, Euclid's making 12. Hafter's 35, making $13 million. A-Rod's 37, making $30 million, and you're not going to see him for a while. Jeter's making 15, and he's 38. I mean, there's a lot of money in the upper 30s on that squad.
No question. I mean, it's an old baseball team.
And as you said, Cano's 30, making $40 million. Or, I'm sorry, $14
million. I mean, that's what they are. I mean, he's the kid. Everybody looks at Cano and says, yeah, there's the future of the Yankees right there. He's 30. He's not 24, 25, 26, 20. He's 30.
The youngest player actually making over $1 million is Phil Hughes.
Out.
What's that?
He's out.
Right. And he's 26.
Right. And he's part of the future, but he got banged up down at spring training. I mean, they're an old baseball team.
An old, expensive baseball team.
Right. I mean, they've aged. And look, they've had great success as they've aged. You know, you're still talking. They're just four years removed from a world championship. But it's also the only one they've had in the last dozen years.
We're factoring in, let's see, almost, 40 or 50 players, and the average age is 29.
That's old.
Especially when you look at that many guys.
Yeah, but you're talking about guys that bring the average down or guys that don't play that often.
Right, you're talking about guys that may not even make the final roster.
Right. I mean, if you're talking about the 40-man roster, 15 won't be there. Now, obviously, A-Rod and Granderson won't be there at the start. But, I mean, that's what you have. They're an aging baseball team. I mean, Jeter is, the Sabermetrics guys kill me sometimes. I think the Sabermetrics guys are great for promoting interest in baseball. Okay, so let's start there. But you can take the argument too far sometimes. Like it's the be-all, end-all, okay? Here's a weird one. You know what I use?
What?
Like the most important, the eye test. All right. I look at the guy and go, you know what? Dude can play. Okay? Dude can play. Dude can't play. Eye test means everything to me. You know, I mean, I don't need numbers on Derek Jeter to look at Derek Jeter and go, yep, made that play, yep, made that play, yep, got that hit, yep, got that hit. In the clutch, they needed him, made that play, threw the ball behind his back against Oakland in a spot he shouldn't have been in. Even in a losing cause, for example. I remember he got two huge hits against the Red Sox when the Red Sox came back four straight and beat him. He put the Yankees in front with a couple of huge hits. Now it's overlooked because the Red Sox came back and won. But he's still right there because there's a line that Dennis Leary has in the World Series film. He says, He says, in the sixth inning, up came Derek Jeter. Who was Derek Jeter? I mean, there's just certain guys that are like that. And then, you know, when A-Rod struck out, there's certain guys he's looking at, and A-Rod was A-Rod. Okay. You know, clutch performance, chance to do something, you know, and got let down by whatever. So when you look at the Yankees, and if I'm a Yankee fan, I really get concerned when the club got excited about three things. We picked up Kevin Youkilis, Mariano Rivera is ready to go, and we signed Andy Pettit. Now, are Pettit, Rivera, and Youkilis three really good players? Okay? Rivera is the greatest reliever ever. First ballot Hall of Famer. I firmly believe Pettit's a Hall of Famer. Youkilis will never get there, but Youkilis has been a really good functional player in his career. Okay? But two are in their 40s and one's 33 and coming off a mixed bag season. Huh? You want to be excited? Tell me about Mike Trout. Bryce Harper.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. I'm in the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15 in Humble's Wharf. And the Hilsers General Store Hotline is open at 1-800-795-9565. Powered by Hilsers General Store. 7 miles south of Sealands Grove on Routes 11 and 15. Go to www.hilsersstore.com. We're talking about the Yankees earlier. And they are just a one old group. Now, they might have to make a move to make up for this. And probably the most likely guy that they can turn to, maybe Alfonso Soriano or possibly Dominic Brown.
I don't think the Phillies can afford to give him up right now. They're not quite sure. I don't think they're really comfortable with their outfield.
Well, you know.
And I know he was up. I know he was on everybody's radar earlier on, especially Houston.
But right now, after being outstanding prospect, he's partially suspect right now.
That's true.
All right? There's no doubt that while we have a couple of questions about Dominic Brown offensively, we definitely have questions about Dominic Brown defensively. Okay? Now, Delman Young is still working his way back from microfracture surgery in the offseason. That's why I agree with you. The Phillies are not in a position to trade Dominic Brown.
Not yet.
He's 25 years old. I wouldn't quite give up on him just yet, even though he has been a flatline. Now, ever since he had that fracture, that Hammett fracture, his power has gone down. Now, the next guy is Alfonso Soriano. He brings some youth to the lineup at 37.
Right.
He hit 32 home runs last year. He had 262. So he's a possibility with Granderson out. But the Yankees have lost something along the way, okay? If you look at Raul Abanez, Eric Chavez, Andrew Jones, Russell Martin, Nick Swisher, okay, you're talking about 94 home runs out of that lineup, okay? I mean, 94 home runs. The other part is you also, if you figure in Alex Rodriguez and Curtis Granderson, you're up to 155 home runs gone. Interesting. I mean, that's a lot of power that you are now out. Now, when you look at what they're brought in, Ichiro, okay, Travis Hafner, Euclidus, you got the Rivera kid and Diaz that they've looked at, plus the return of Brett Gardner. And Brett Gardner, by the way, was a big loss to them. Gardner gives that lineup some jump. Covers a lot of ground in the outfield. They don't have the greatest arm, but covers a lot of ground in the outfield and adds a base-stealing threat to the lineup. But all you've done is add in 63 home runs compared to the 155 you lost. You're telling me they're better? All right, next up, recruiting gone amok.
It's way, way out of line. I mean, I've seen a lot of junior high football, and I've seen a lot of youth football over the last several years, and I cannot understand how any university at any level can seriously offer a junior high football player that's not even in high school, in eighth grade, a scholarship. But that's what Alabama and LSU seem to be offering.
I don't get it.
I mean, half of these kids that are playing in junior high, I'm sorry, my kid's one of them, all right? I'll be honest with you. Half of these kids playing in junior high aren't going to play varsity. And then the other half are going to be sprinkled in here and there. So how can you say that this kid is going to be the player you want in 2017 based on what you're seeing at junior high?
I find it bizarre.
I mean, where's the line? I mean, well, you know what? He looked really good when he was 8 years old. We'll have to keep an eye on him. When he hits 12, we're going to make him an offer.
You know how I feel about kids specializing in one sport at an early age?
Absolutely.
I've never liked it. I think the trend has been, to me, in the wrong direction there.
I totally agree with that.
I think as somebody who's around sports all the time, you know, I'm around it at the most competitive, highest level for anybody who's 22 years and younger. You know, I mean, I'm not around the NFL, the NBA, but still, when you're around Division I college football and Division I football, you're around the highest level. I mean, I see the Penn States, the Ohio States, and in basketball, I've seen Indiana and Michigan and all the up close, okay? I mean, when they put the NCAA bracket together, I've seen a lot of those teams in person. So I know the pressure that they're under at this age. Why throw somebody who's 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 and go, okay, you're a basketball player. Let him play basketball. Let him run track. Let him play football. Let him play baseball. Let him have fun. They're kids. Okay?
You know, even these...
If you see something in them, it's okay.
Even these high school athletes that are standouts in one particular sport, whether it be wrestling, basketball, mm-hmm. baseball, football, whatever, I still don't like the idea of anybody specializing, even as a senior.
Oh, no, I think you get great benefits out of it. I think that if you are a football player, okay, play basketball. Okay, it'll improve your footwork. Run track.
That's what I was just going to say, run track. If you're a football player, run track. No matter what level, no matter what position you play, it's going to help.
You know what Joe Paterno would do?
What's
Joe
that?
Paterno would watch him play basketball. He watched him play basketball all the time. I said, why do you watch him play basketball? He says, well, Steve, I'd go and watch him play basketball because I want to see what kind of competitor they are. I want to see their footwork. It also gives me an indication what kind of athlete they happen to be. Because you're seeing them do something. Well, that's why you win 409 games.
That's a good point.
And, you know, he would look at that. you could take other skills from sports, whether it's wrestling. I mean, some of them went into wrestling. Wrestling, basketball, track, some played baseball. Hand-eye coordination, things like that. It's a different skill set. It develops different muscles, and it also indicates what kind of athlete you can be. Because, let's face it, if you come into college and you're like, oh, boy, I'm going to be a wide receiver, I'm going to be a wideout, and all of a sudden there's like 10 wideouts, and you're having trouble, you know, you might get into the rotation, but you're not the number one guy, but you know what? You're the number one defensive back, and you've shown some sort of athletic prowess. They'll flip you over there, and all of a sudden you find a brand new home, and suddenly you're playing a lot. So that's offering in eighth grade, I find that to be absurd.
Well, all right. Now the offer. Let's say the offer was officially made, because it's still vague. I mean, even the father said that he wasn't quite sure. He asked a lot of questions just to know exactly what Nick Saban was talking about. But let's say the offer was made. And he accepts the offer.
Mm-hmm.
Now what?
Accept what offer? I mean,
a scholarship offer. I mean, work? How would that work?
It doesn't work. Nothing happens. You can't do a single thing until it comes time to the first Wednesday in February,
right,
where then you have a letter of intent, and then you have no letter in hand to sign, and will not have a letter of intent in hand to sign for 4 years. Now, a lot of change between now and 4 years.
Yeah. Yeah, everybody could catch up.
If you want to talk about making a commitment to somebody, you're talking about somebody who's in 11th grade, okay? Brian Milne. Penn State offered him. Brian Milne got cancer. Everybody pulled away except one school. Guess which school that was?
I'm familiar.
No matter what, we're going to stick with you. He comes to Penn State, becomes an outstanding fullback at Penn State, scored the game-winning touchdown against Illinois in the dramatic comeback. Okay, scored a touchdown in the Rose Bowl, and won the NCAA shot put championship. Now that's sticking to your commitment. Can you do an eighth grader? Could be a long-forgotten cause 4 years from now and irrelevant. Tom Brady gets a new deal with the Patriots. Some breaking news on that. We're talking about the flat cap era. And Brady's new contract calls for a 3-year extension that takes him through the 2017 season when he'll be 40 years old. How much of this is guaranteed, I don't know. But Brady would get $13.8 million this year, $14.8 million in 2014, $13 million in 2015, $14 million in 2016, $15 million in 2017.
And that gives them what, about $7 million now under the cap, $7 million cap space?
Yep.
Look, the alarm just went off because Alabama just offered a fifth grader.
I know. Somebody's obviously cooking something upstairs. Can't wait to have that meal tonight.
I was going to say, you may want to order pizza. All right, just a thought.
Yeah, well, I guess we're ordering out. The Patriots are going to guarantee his salaries for the next 3 seasons. So he is guaranteed the $41 million for 13, 14, 15. He is not guaranteed the money in 16 and 17. So the Patriots, but there is some bonus money.
But that means he's going to retire as a Patriot.
That's the whole point of it. 8 seasons ago, he also put together a similar deal like this. This is fine. I mean, it's, you know, what are you gonna have, Ryan Mallett quarterback the team? I don't think so. There is no heir apparent. They need to draft one, but there is no heir apparent. And that, by the way, that heir apparent is not in this draft.
No.
Hey, there may be as many as quarterbacks first round, but Man, I think Geno Smith and Matt Barkley are both first-round locks. And there might be a third quarterback that goes in the first round. So, Argo won Best Picture last night, the Academy Awards. I saw Argo. Really, really good. I would have voted that way as well, of the ones I saw. Kevin, very disappointed at the short film about Honey Boo Boo.
I actually saw one picture nominated, and I actually want to see two other pictures that were nominated for Best Picture. I think that's the first time in a decade or so that that's happened. I saw Lincoln, and I have not yet seen, but will, Argo and Silver Linings Playbook.
I've heard that Lincoln is brilliant.
It is.
And that Daniel Day-Lewis is brilliant.
He was amazing.
Argo, outstanding just in a different way.
Thought Sally Field was really good in that too, by the way. Not Argo, but
well, between
Lincoln.
Daniel Day-Lewis and Sally Field, there's five Academy Awards there. Today's show brought to you by Purdy. What?
No. I'm sorry. I was just going to say not to mention Tommy Lee Jones as a supporting actor, too. There's a lot
that
of
makes,
Oscars
that
in
makes
that.
Six.
Yeah.
That makes six. He picked up one for The Fugitive. And it makes you mad that I know these things.
That's actually pretty impressive.
You're angry that I know it. You get angry easy at me.
You make it easy. Okay, as you were saying?
I'll come back in a few moments. News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Ready for a quality pre-owned vehicle? Well, get them before they go to auction at Sunbury Motors. Go to sunburymotors.com and click on pre-auction blowout and make your deal today, because these cars could be at an auction tomorrow, like a 2012 Hyundai Veloster, three-door coupe with black interior under 7,000 miles, lowest price promise, $17,999. A 2006 Lincoln LS four-door V8 sports sedan, just $12,455. Ford F-150 regular cab, $17,999. A 2012 Hyundai Elantra four-door sedan GLS, just $15,943. And a beautiful 2003 Ford Mustang Premium Mach 1, just $16,997. All come with a Carfax report and our lowest price promise. Pre-auction blowout. 24/7 at sunburymotors.com, at the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at our dealership, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sunbury Motors, a tradition of trust since 1915. 888-536-8017.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, keywords 11 to 15, Hummel's Wharf. They sponsor the studio. And Hilster's General Store sponsors the hotline at 1-800-795-9565. And you can go to www.hilsterstore.com. They're located on routes 11 and 15, 7 miles south of Sealands Grove. Tom Brady, $27 million, three-year extension with the Patriots. And Ohio State's athletic director says as of right now, he's heard nothing about expansion. Now, of course, a lot of this is done cloaked in secrecy. Now let's go to Dave in Sunbury.
How you doing, Steve?
Dave, how are you?
Okay. How's Maxwell doing?
I don't know. Maxwell. We couldn't find him.
Oh, okay. Whee!
Crowd loves you.
You were talking about the contracts and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And Reggie, that Chicago Bull, his agent for his brother.
Yes. You're talking about Derrick Rose.
Yeah, well, that clicked in my mind was he's worried about them getting more people, and he signed him to that $100 million contract. So now they're sort of hamstringed about who they can offer, more money to bring in better players.
Right. You're absolutely right. But then again, you gave the $100 million to the guy you perceived to be your best player, so.
Yeah, well, as I said, you know. But I just thought, you know, hey, you gave him that money. If he wants you to get more ball players to help him out, and he hasn't come back from an injury yet. So you're sort of throwing, you know, good money after bad until you get you actually get him on there playing. I see he's progressing, but.
Yeah, he's progressing. I think he just wants to make sure that when he gets back, he's really back. I talked to Sasha Brodniak today, and I asked him, I said, you know, people forget that you tore your ACL 2 years ago. When did you finally feel comfortable where you really didn't think about the fact you had a knee injury anymore, felt like your knee was structurally sound? He said it took over a year.
Well, brother asked me, he said, what's the score of the rest thing? I said, well, I don't know until I get Tuesday's paper. So he said, well, you're going to call Steve? I said, well... He's given us scores in the past, so.
Yeah. Oh, yesterday's 34-0. They beat Rutgers, yeah.
Okay, you know.
I mean, the regular season's over. Kale did not take them to the national again.
Yeah.
He just doesn't feel like he wants his kids wrestling the same people three consecutive weekends. He just thinks that's silly. Set up. I mean, Penn State's committed to being in it next year, but they're not in it this year. So we had the regular season one with Ryder, the regular season one with Rutgers. They put together back-to-back shutouts where they combined a shut team by 82-0.
Well, and there's some both those teams that have decent players, and there's not like, you know, like you're going up against a bunch of slugs. I know some guys that were ranked.
Yeah, I mean, to a point. Yeah.
Well,
I mean, I think in a lot of ways, the last two weekends, they've tapered it down to the point where I think they're going to be fresh for the Big Tens and set to go in the Big Tens because they may have faced a weight class here or there where there's somebody ranked, but you and I both know that Rutgers and Ryder don't exactly resonate on a national scale.
Well, yeah, but and to Kevin Hurd, that was just a little. You know, say, you know, you talk to my cousin all the time. That's all that was, you know, a friendly little jab. It was nothing personal.
No, not at all. Didn't take it that way. Listen, if I took it personally, I wouldn't be on this program anymore. I get jabbed more often than anybody.
Well.
Oh, that sounded pathetic.
Well, you see my cousin.
Some days.
Basically, time I said hello.
I'll see him tomorrow night. Thanks, Dave.
You see him more than I do.
Yeah. That's probably. I see him more than his wife does. I know that for sure. Thanks, Dave.
Story on the Big Ten expansion. They say that Maryland and Rutgers, the Big Ten, has East Coast partners for Penn State. They said the persistence of conference realignment since 2010, coupled with the Big Ten Network's national cable reach, has many wondering if the league will eventually push. Gene Smith, the athletic director at Ohio State, said that Jim Delaney has kept everyone in the loop on expansion, said there's nothing right now, since talks among league officials don't look that far ahead. Interesting.